live and podcast audio is recording. Folks may have been, some people may tune into this program for the first time just because, what the fuck does that title say? And so this is not going to be a fully typical news and comment episode of The Wine Cellar. We'll be digging into this cat, Greg Kokel, and his guest, Joe Carter. Greg Kokel is a white supremacist, white Christian dominionist, and I think he's a type of white supremacist. I suspect that he actually adopted non-white kids, which is some of the most disgusting white supremacists. Because you're not adopting, you're purchasing. And you're purchasing so you can have something to play with and abuse behind closed doors. You're gross. Fuck you. Alright? And his guest, Joe Carter, is a writer of sorts. But, just to sort of ease into it, we'll riff about some other shit first to get into it. Phoenix Cleaver, you had, an individual, was it UKIP?
Yeah, UKIP.
UKIP. Well, you were talking to Lisa, and what's going on with this UKIP?
Oh, well, it's actually on winecellarmedia.com, if y'all would like to go there and click it. So, she's, running for a position for city council, and she did a phone interview explaining some of her views, and she's a horrible human being, as it turns out. You want to do the whole thing, or you just want some quotable quotes?
Give me the whole shit.
All right. How about... if I could pull it up, that would be fantastic. Yeah, I know.
You're having a good time.
Oh, I'm having a great time. It always does, like, this lag thing whenever we're live. Fucking weird. All right.
Because we are using...
yeah, we're using, like, we're two using tablets.
All of the internet available to do a broadcast.
Yeah. Okay. Her name is Gisella Allen. She is the UK Independence Party, a.k.a. UKIP candidate for Garscadden... somewhere in Scotland.
Oh, Garscadden. It looks phonetic.
Yeah, but what's the next one? Scots?
Oh. Garscadden... oh, looks like it says, Scott's Town Hill, which is so fucking lazy.
I don't even know if that's what that
it
says.
It looks like it's look at phonetically, Scott's Town Hill.
Anyway, somewhere in Scotland, y'all work it out. we're Americans, we don't have to know where things are in Scotland, right?
We don't even have to know where Hawaii is.
we don't even have to know Hawaii is a state.
That's some fun audio we got coming up.
Yeah, we don't even have to know Hawaii is a state, so good luck trying to get us to figure out where shit is in Scotland. Alright, so she's under fire for a series of proposals that she later insisted were personal beliefs, not party policy. You know when you do some shit and you have to be like, that's not the party line, I just was talking shit, you said some shit, okay? Yeah. So she was responding by phone to questions about why she was running for Glasgow City Council. See, I can say Glasgow. Glasgow.
You can say it both ways.
I could say it both. Get you a girl who can do both. And she said at the end of the interview, I was well advised to be quiet. You just opted not to take that advice. During the interview, she made several controversial statements. Quote, I wish... you know what? I wish Lisa was on right now so she could actually read these shits in a Scottish accent. That would be fucking hilarious. We need to get her new sound bites. Quote, I want the death penalty to be reenacted. It doesn't necessarily have to be hanging. You could have the guillotine. I think the public is entitled to protection. The main purpose of the law is to protect the public. If I could get the guillotine, lethal injection, or firing squad, I would gladly have it. I would also castrate violent criminals. You castrate bulls, horses, and dogs because it takes aggression away. Moreover, these violent criminals can't have any more children themselves. Hi, eugenics. And I'm all for the cat o' nine tails. You like violence? Well, let's see how you like being on the receiving end. Sounds like a peach.
A Georgia peach?
A Scottish peach, apparently.
That does not sound nearly as...
She sounds more like a plate of cold haggis.
That sounds terrible. That sounds terrible, too.
Well, cold haggis is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want increased childcare, she said. Women with small children should stay home and look after their own. Nurseries should not get financial support. Because everyone can afford to stay home when they have kids. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, fuck.
Despite her age, I believe she's in her 80s. She is in favor of euthanizing the elderly and the sick. She says the NHS, which I believe is like the National Healthcare Service, that's, you know, the abbreviation for it, spends a fortune on prolonging lives of, for instance, cancer sufferers. Just settle the whole nonsense. Kidney transplants, heart transplants, just come off it.
Just come off it.
Come off it.
Yeah, I love how those fucking people talk.
I told you, we need Lisa to be fucking reading these shits. The whole school system needs to be overhauled. She continued, we're heading for World War III. The educational system all over Europe is collapsing, and the greatest danger to the world as it stands is China and India. Every class should have a classroom and not get moved around. No sex education in school. Says the lady who doesn't want mothers to go to work. Like, okay, no sex education, but all right. Let's talk about cause and effect, shall
we? That's how you learn.
Learn that you might have made an error. No sex education in school, and I don't want any LGBT community.
Any?
Any. At all. None.
I don't move into one.
It's private life, none of anyone's business. She said, quote, I am not anti-gay, but how can you call that a community? Sex life is everybody's private affair. You do not come out and declare openly. Do you think I'm going...
Yeah.
I am reading a direct quote verbatim. I am not...
That's right.
Just saying things. Like, this is what the fuck she said. You do not come out and declare openly. Do you think I'm going all over the city saying my idea of a sexually attractive creature is a gorilla? When I go to a zoo and I see a gorilla, my hormones go absolutely crazy. I find a gorilla very attractive. But I don't talk about it. So why should gay, lesbian, or bisexual people talk about their sex life? That sounds normal, right?
Well, they really go for it with the animals. That's like the one that fucking, that said won't marry a snapping turtle. And it's like, why did you go to snapping turtle?
You thought about it. Which is all because, like, didn't just last week, oh no, we didn't actually do it, but just last week we saw a story about the fucking bestiality party ring. Remember that shit? Where it was like, a bunch of people were paying to go to, like, secret sex clubs, but all they did was have sex with animals, and, like, someone was filming that shit.
That.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
I don't think you even told me that.
I did, and you just looked at me and walked away.
I did? Damn. All right.
You said, I'm not dealing with this, and walked away. Because that particular story, the whole thing was that this lady was on video, recording video or pictures. There was documented evidence that she was engaged in sexual acts with a Labrador. And she wasn't going to get any prison time because she, quote, didn't know it was illegal to have sex with animals.
Oh, fuck. I remember you telling me that shit now.
I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah, I remember that. God damn it.
Okay. Continuing on with Mrs. When I go to a zoo and I see a gorilla, my hormones go crazy because I find gorillas attractive. Alan came to Scotland from Switzerland in 1961 as an exchange student where she met her Jamaican husband who was in the Air Force. I think that the context has written itself there.
What the fuck?
I think, yeah.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
Is that why she married him?
The black man reminds her of a gorilla. Gorillas are arousing, I guess. It's King Kong in real life or something. I don't know.
When I was like, this will be a good opener. Because that's what this is. You realize this is all part of the opener,
well,
right?
Sorry, guess we probably should have played the trigger warning first.
Yeah. That's on me. You know what? I mean, nothing really devastating. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Yeah, if you're triggered by fucking weird, that's my bad.
Yeah. So they later had four children and ran a bed and breakfast. When her husband died, she began volunteering at the Glasgow Zoo.
It's Moral Monday, And you're in the wine cellar.
Most of the gorillas, I guess.
Yeah.
But insists that her experience volunteering at the zoo has made her, quote, a good public speaker who is able to connect with an audience. Yeah.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. Bill Kidd, Scottish National Party Parliament member for Glasgow, said the comments proved UKIP was out of step with the country. It's one thing to be an opinionated individual, that's what democracy is about, but Ms. Allen, with these outlandish claims, has become a manifestation of all that makes her party so unrepresentative of constituents in Garscadden, Scouts, Townhill, or for that matter, Glasgow or Scotland. I like that. I feel like he low-key threw shade there, being like, UKIP doesn't represent Scotland and didn't say shit about England. Like, maybe that's what y'all fuckers do down there. But in Scotland...
Well, shit, y'all niggas chose to stay in the Union there. I don't know. Shit like that makes me want to change the name of the program back to Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. Like, if we're going to be fucking weird, we might as well have the old weird. We don't get to be the black podcast. I can change the name of the SoundCloud feed to the Black Podcast. We can keep the name. But yeah, we gotta be the fuck. You know what? That's why it's Wine Cellar Entertainment. The weird never went away.
The weird never went away.
Jesus Christ.
I also
Christ.
Feel like I need a meme that says Caucasity.
Fucking. Alright. Opener. And then Jeff Sessions, Alex Jones, and then Greg Kokel and Joe Carter.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
See how he sold my shit up? Knuckles all fat and shit. Side though, it's all good. Lift his ass so bad, his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here, though.
One ass whooping, man. They still one.
How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on.
The
shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Cooling at a party, no better yet disco. Head feeling mellow from a bottle of Cisco. Move. To crush your fire, suck an MC like Crisco. Give me the cue. Set 1-2. Don't try to come off of me because you do do. Treating me the Z to the D like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're living foul. MCs, you know who you are. On a bandwagon, YZ, cause you a star. This is a year when the jokers are wild. When the fans are hacking, you try to fight your style. Like a hip to the skin before it happens. If it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give. In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterosexism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show,
them shoes you got on your feet,
is brought to you.
This building,
by the fuck,
this school, this country, you,
that Father Teresa does not give.
I forgot to plug in the charger, and so the smart device while recording the Facebook Live was like, low battery, what you gonna do about it? And I'm looking, I'm like, why is the screen gray? What the fuck is that? Because I have a mirror behind it so I can see us on the screen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck is that on the dadgummit screen? And I finally looked closer. All right, so Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III.
General Jeff Sessions is ruffling some feathers for how he apparently regards the state of Hawaii. Sessions was talking to a radio host Wednesday about a judge in Hawaii blocking President Trump's second travel ban when he said this.
I really am amazed that a judge sitting on an island in the Pacific can issue an order that stops seeing the President of the United States from what appears to be clearly his statutory and constitutional powers.
That island, of course, is part of a state, and the president's travel ban applies to it as much as the rest of the country. And when Judge Derek Watson issued a stay on the president's executive order, he did so in his capacity as a federal judge. Sessions' comments got blowback from people like Mazie Hirono and Brian Schatz, who represent Hawaii in the Senate. That prompted U.S. Justice Department spokesperson Ian D. Pryor to make this statement. Hawaii is, in fact, an island in the Pacific, a beautiful one where the Attorney General's granddaughter was born. Hawaii is actually 8 islands, at least. Pryor continued, "The point, however, is that there is a problem when a flawed opinion by a single judge can block the president's lawful exercise of authority to keep the entire country safe." Of course, the action wasn't the opinion of just one judge. A second judge in Maryland also ruled to block the ban from taking effect, and a third judge in Washington State ruled against a very similar ban in February.
Now, and it continues on with Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. He went on ABC News, ABC This Week, and he played off of it because it's some shit he said on Mark Levin's program.
Let's talk about the travel ban. You're taking some heat for.
He's taking some heat.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't ready for this clip just because, like, he looks like a troll doll.
He is a weird looking. Like, he's still, no matter how goofy he looks, the racism is still in his look. Like, visually, he's racist.
Oh, visually, no. He looks like Gollum to me. It's his tone that is racist because he has that creepy southern gentleman thing.
It's his tone that is racist. So you have a racist tone about you. Damn, I cannot keep this fucking camera.
Uh-oh.
As I'd like it kept.
Uh-oh.
So I just leaned it up against the microphone.
Oh,
which cool. Is very hip-hop. You can always lean on a microphone.
Yeah, you can always lean on a microphone. That's why you can never drop a microphone.
You can never drop a microphone if you're not an actual MC that spits some really ill shit.
Such a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to gatekeep my culture from fucking whack niggas. Like, again, reminder, alright, just because you're black doesn't mean you're hip-hop, alright? So, ooh. I mean, yeah, frankly, yeah, a lot of black people can shut the fuck up about it, too. Like, not just white niggas. Alright. Yeah.
Comments you made on the Mark Levin show this week, I want to play them for our audience.
I really am amazed that a judge sitting on an island in the Pacific can issue an order that stops seeing the President of the United States from what appears to be clearly his statutory and constitutional powers.
Of course, that island in the Pacific is the state of Hawaii. You've been blasted by Hawaii senators. One called it dog whistle politics. Your response?
Look, they file the suit. The plaintiffs get to choose the venue. They file a lawsuit in Hawaii, and the first decision on the new executive order came out of Hawaii. And all I was saying was the president...
Why not just call it the state of Hawaii?
the president, nobody has a sense of humor anymore. Look, the president has to deal with the Department of Defense, the National Intelligence Agency, CIA. He knows the threats to this country. He is responsible for protecting America. This order is lawful. It's within his authority, constitutionally and explicit statutory authority. We're going to defend that all the way up. And so you do have a situation in which one judge out of 700 in America has stopped this order. I think it's a mistake, and we're going to battle in the courts, and I think we'll eventually win.
Yeah, he sounds like some guy who would have been giving a passionate speech for slave owner rights in like the 1840s.
And one guy, this is There's no audio or video to this, just a guy named Michael Reagan. I don't know if there's relation. And, he is the son of Ronald Reagan. Mm. And he said, if women are going to wear low-cut dresses that show cleavage, don't be harassed when men look, or should we sue for sexual arousal? Yeah. You did that to me, woman.
Yeah, because I can't control my genitals, my feelings, or my emotional baggage. Do it for me.
All right, we're going to get to Greg Kokel and Joe Carter, but I saw Alex Jones, and I missed a couple episodes with the hours I've been working, because to listen to an Alex Jones episode, you got to have 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't have those fucking hours anymore, so now I'm just catching the shit that Right Wing Watch puts up. And this is, for the folks looking at the Facebook Live, you see those illustrations, right?
Yeah.
I think that's actually Jones. And the funny thing is, it looks like the illustrations of the machines I work with at one point.
What the fuck is...
He's got a beautiful mind, man.
You're supposed to have children by 16 in every culture biologically.
And in my head, on what kind of wacky conspiracy... There it is.
But he dives right in with that shit. He dives right the fuck in. Are you not feeling it yourself? You're not feeling it?
No.
Let's see where he goes. All right, let's give that a running start.
You're supposed to have children by 16 in every culture biologically.
All right.
If you're not having them by 16, there's something wrong with you. Oh, but see, there's college, the priesthood you've got to get into. And then by then, oh, you got to make money because you're in debt. Oh, don't have time for kids. It's all, they wrote books about the 20s, how they do this. Don't have time for kids. You're trying to get out of debt. Oh, you're
Alex Jones. Podcast listeners, this is one where you really want to go to the fucking, to the video. Jones is fucking writing out, I guess, a graph of some sort. Here we go.
40, you're finally halfway out of debt. Oh, you want to have some fun now. Oh, you try to find a woman. Oh, she's barren. She's doing...
Bam.
Nigga, maybe you shouldn't have had college debt. What the fuck? Fuck you. She's barren.
Which is... Like, I remember, like... I remember... Because, you know, I used to read independently. Because I just, you know, I liked reading shit. And, like, and I used the word barren. And my biological mother was still alive at the time. And she was like, that's such an old man word.
It kind of is, yeah.
The same thing. By the time you figure out you want to live, by the time you hit 16 at 40, I'm giving you the big knowledge here, folks.
See, you hit 16 at 40 because you finally figured out you want to live. This is the big knowledge.
Really?
Oh, shit.
40, on average. And they did this by design. You are now the equivalent of a 16-year-old. When I was 16, I didn't want to party anymore. I didn't want to play games anymore. I grew up. I'd already been in the fights, all the big rituals. I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
You man whore.
That's conservative.
150.
I mean, men that value that kind of shit, probably, they have an incentive to lie.
They do have an incentive to lie, but it's also, like, not a good lie. Like, you hit puberty when?
I don't know, like fucking 11, 12.
So, 12 to 16, 150, eh? Hmm.
Yeah, okay.
When you don't have a car, you don't have a license, you're in school, you live with your parents, seems probable. 150.
Well, then that could really be pending on the parents, too.
150, though.
No, but it's also Alex Jones. You are reading too deep into... Alex Jones set a number. You gonna take it serious?
Because people were like, oh, he's just so silly. Like, all the ways of which he's lying.
Yep, this is one of them. This is one of them. Jones, see where he goes. 21 seconds.
I had over 150 women. I'd already been in fights with full-grown men. I was already dating college girls by the time I was 15 years old. I was already a man at 16.
All right. A man at 16.
Gross.
He was a man.
So
you saying he wasn't a man at 16?
Yes. He's not a man now. How could he have been one when he was fucking 16?
All right. So fucking, I listen to a lot of podcasts, right? Listen to a lot of fucking shows. Shit that where their opinions I might agree with, but I just listen because, you know, I want to hear, like, some news stories that I haven't heard or maybe some interviews that are interesting, so I listen to a lot of programs. I listen to shit I disagree with, too. Obviously, like I said, I listen to Alex Jones. I've been listening to William Lane Craig since about 2012. I've been listening to Greg Kokel since about 2000... I think since about 2014, I think I've been listening to Greg Kokel. Maybe late 13, I've been listening to Kokel. Just a lot of shit. I originally checked out the feminist Mormon Housewives because I thought that was going to be some tacky white feminist shit, and it's actually a really dope program. You know, so I play an ass load of programs. And on this recent Greg Kokel, I'm fucking... like, you know something is special when you just look at the title, and you know, and I'm getting up, and it's I think if I remember right, it was the fucking the pre-Easter day,
yeah,
whatever the fuck that was, Friday. Yeah, and I was off work that day, and I look at this shit, and I see the title, and it says, "What Christians Should Know About Intersectionality." Mm. Now you know this is special because Greg Kokel is a white Christian dominionist to the core, like a motherfucker, all right? And so, and I started playing it immediately. Like, I was walking down the hallway and already hit play, like, getting down to, you know, sit down and use the bathroom and fucking, and start doing chores and whatnot. And so, yes.
By the way, Shauna in the comment section said Jones didn't know 150 women by the time he was 16. Didn't know biblically or socially.
Yeah, right, fucking, so folks are gonna have a tough time getting, because, like, this shit interests me more than it irritates me, because I want to know how these people are spitting their propaganda out there. So maybe this will take us about, like, 45 to 50 minutes to get through, so, you know, yeah, it's gonna be a long episode. Yeah, because they go for 20 minutes and change.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe we'll just let them riff more and we'll talk less.
Okay.
Because most of it will just
be... try.
Yep.
Gotta try.
Yeah, so actually, you should probably be doing most of the commenting and just tell me when to hit play again. Right?
Hey.
Right.
So, you have this piece that you just wrote, What Christians Should Know About Intersectionality. Oh, my goodness. Not another one. Okay, what next? Tell us a little bit about what's going on here. What is... Oh my goodness, intersectionality, and why should we care about it as Christians?
Well, intersectionality is a term that's used to describe how the intersections of race, gender, class, health, sexuality, etc., kind of intersect in ways to create greater systems of oppression or discrimination. For example, take a black man, a white woman, and a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
The black man is oppressed because of his racism. Because he's black,
mm-hmm.
but he has the privilege of being a male,
mm-hmm.
whereas the white woman, she has the privilege of being white, but she suffers discrimination for being a woman, but the black woman suffers discrimination for being against racism and sexism. So she kind of has intersecting, overlapping systems of oppression that can kind of affect her in a way that is greater than it would the black man mm-hmm. by so, a woman. So yeah, that's, kind of the, that's kind of the concept behind that. Is
so, and of course,
overlapping things can affect you.
They all have.
I was just thinking, like, we should just, like, clip that out because that's actually, you know, a good definition. And just be like, according to Greg Kogel, this is what intersectionality is. Like, just to fucking troll him. And like, put it like a SoundCloud clip, but, like, put it on Twitter and, like, at Kogel and be like, thanks for this awesome intersectionality definition, Greg Kogel.
Oh,
like, just
man.
Just to fuck with him. I'm not above it.
Okay.
Because I know it's only going to go downhill from here. It has
yep.
to. I know who Greg Kogel is. It's just going to go downhill from here.
Fuck yeah, man. That's why if you look at I already have the Blog Talk link up for this, and then I'll replace the audio when we're done recording. And you got, like, when you look at Greg Kogel's face, you're just like, you fucking asshole. Like, he's that. All right.
But better than those just like them who are gay. Because they have an additional factor, right?
Exactly, and this is where the problem of intersectionality comes in. I mean, there's some partially useful stuff in the concept, mm-hmm. but what it comes down to is, in our culture today, we prize victimhood. Victimhood confers status on somebody. So if you can one-up yourself on the victim ladder,
right.
you gain higher status. So there's some partially if you're gay and you're black, you gain an advantage over just regular black people.
Okay, you know.
If you're transgender, you gain the advantage over gay people. So it's just kind of like, you know, the more ways you can have these intersecting systems of oppression affect you, the greater status you have in society.
Well, it sounds, for one, like more victimized than thou, and that's what the competition is. I'm not entirely sure what... There's no question in my mind that there is oppression in the world, okay, and that some people are... recipients of multiple forms of repression. But it seems to me in this case
that
these things are trying to be quantified.
Well, how?
He said it's repression, so we're being repressed because we're not allowed to just be?
Well, you know what? I don't use that word, yo, define that. I realize I don't use that word because I don't know the definition of that word.
Well,
what is repress?
Like, basically holding it back. Like, you're, you know, it's like oppression, but you have to repress yours. That's the whole in the closet thing. You're repressing your sexuality.
Ah.
You're, you know, repressing your urge to respond to microaggressions.
Is suppression a synonym for that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so at least I've been using a word.
In ways that, it's kind of hard to really quantify them. And the result is just to make people angrier and angrier at society in general and anyone else who is perceived to have some form of privilege above what the more victimized person has. So you could be a black person who's straight and a black person who's gay, and so, gee, the black person who's straight, he's not as victimized as the one who's gay, and so somehow that person is I don't even know what the right word is to describe here, but it's like it's almost like the more victimized you are, the better you are in a certain sense. You're kind of in this more noble class, and the less victimized you are, the more victimizer you are, and therefore the more ignoble you are. Does that make sense?
No!
Why? How does that not make sense?
What the fuck?
He broke it down, son!
You can't string together words and pretend you said something sensical. That's not how it works.
He didn't even string those together. Oh. He had fucking generic glue and cotton balls. Like, hang it up on the refrigerator, Ma. It's awesome.
You know, it's just fascinating to me that they fully understand the concept, but then pretend it's about victimization. Like, oh, you get to collect these social points, these social capital points, but those only work in social justice spaces, which is not the majority of the world.
No.
You know, when you hit these, double, triple, extra marginalizations, you're not... able to be like, I'm cashing in by, you know, black plus gay plus, you know, plus woman card. No, you're just more likely to get raped and be poor. Like, in reality. Come on, now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. Like, as soon as we found out that, like, what, 1989 with Kimberly Crenshaw, and she was like, mm-hmm. like, okay, these are the whoop-de-boop-bop, the boom-de-bop-bam mm-hmm. intersections. Fucking all those marginalized folks just rose up to the top immediately. Yeah.
Well, and that's why right now, under, you know, the administration of the Tangerine Terrorist,
yeah.
the people doing best are, like, poor and disabled and
that's right.
have uteruses.
Donald Trump
stuff.
Is a trans black woman.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We should stop dead naming her. That's fucked up, B. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we're doing great. We're doing great under these marginalizations. Hey.
Woo. And, folks, hey, only 15 minutes left of the COHOL, right? Okay. We can burn through this. We're good at this.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
We're good at this, man. And then I can fucking... And then I can microwave this honey bun with a tall, frosty glass of Moo Cow. Because when I was at the workplace, nigga, I was...
We don't have any milk.
You are gay woman. Jesus.
I will go to the store and get you some, though.
I'll give you my debit card to do it. Woo!
I random domestic tangent to the middle of the show.
That's right, because the teenager was just recently here.
Yes, yes.
The teenager happens to the milk. And we got an extra gallon for that, and it's still...
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was because he was making himself grits.
He made something himself?
Yeah.
All by himself.
All by himself.
Get the fuck out
yeah.
of here.
I was like, nigga, read the fucking box has directions on it. Fucking read that shit.
Yo, I've been thinking about, like, fucking buying some wood and nails and shit. And then, like, just having them come outside and just nail it together. Not even building anything. Just fucking, just here, do it.
Practice your hands.
Yeah.
Get your hands tough.
Yeah, because when he gets exiled from that castle, like, oh, he's going... Be, yeah, he's going from prince up. To serf real quick.
Oh, yeah, he's not ready. He's not ready.
That's a lot of tangent. Yeah, but fucking, I don't care. I'm going to keep going because I got a honey bun, motherfuckers. Because at the vending machine in the workplace, in the cafeteria, I went to go get some Doritos... Right, and a honey bun fell out too. Like boom, blam. I was like, yeah. So I got that. All right, Greg Kokel, intersectionality.
Exactly right, and it gets so granular that it gets almost absurd. Christina Summers talks about a feminist conference she went to in the early 1990s. This has been around for a long time, and they started breaking up into groups based on their healing needs, what they need to heal on.
Right.
And kind of,
he said it was like 1992, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It initially divided into groups such as lesbian couples.
Yeah.
But the lesbians then broke down to black lesbians who had white partners had more privilege than the black lesbians who had black partners. So they grouped, so they, you know, broke off in their own groups. And it got down to people who, you know...
Let it also see known that this conference that it's just a claim he's making.
Yeah.
He's saying it existed, he's saying it happened, and you just have to believe him. This conference may not have even happened. And if it did, yeah, let people break off into groups and have separate group discussions and mm-hmm. then come back. Like, they leave it at that. They broke off and had separate discussions. Yeah, then came back to the rest of the conference.
But see, and even that, though, is false because, or disingenuous, because even within the church, they do that shit. They'll be like, this is for, you know, the women's group here for the women who are married to learn how to be a better partner.
Hmm.
This one here is for the mothers so you can learn how to be a better mother. This one here is for the men so you can learn how to be a more attentive spouse. This one here is for the kids, but only for kids of a certain age because the younger kids won't get it. So you have to do the younger kids here and then, like, the junior high kids here. And they fucking do that shit too, but they all pray together. You know, they say the Our Father together at the Sunday service, but, you know, they break up into their own fucking groups for their own shit too. Fuck out of here. They understand it entirely.
They can get the fuck out of here.
I said what I said.
Damn it.
People who couldn't stand the smell of hairspray or something like that, they were victimized by the chemicals and hairspray. It was just...
I want receipts.
Yep. I want to be victimized by hairspray. That's true.
Yeah, okay.
It just gets so ridiculous when you're fighting for victimhood that
right,
you can always come
right.
up with reasons why you suffer more than somebody else.
Other than being, like, wildly politically correct, this trend, I don't really see the value of it. It just seems to me to foster more hostility and a more of a sense of victimhood, and in the victimhood, a sense of some kind.
Okay, just what I'm noticing in Greg Kokel is that kind of shit where billionaires say that us pointing out that they're billionaires is class warfare on them. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just like when the person that that purchased you when you were a child, when he sees me as stepping out of line, he asked me, "Is that a threat, William?"
Yeah.
Because they see you not being in your place as a threat, as dangerous, because they like the caste system. And Greg Kokel doesn't like something that goes against the caste system.
Mm-hmm. ...kind of entitlement, but I don't even know what these folks think they're entitled to in virtue of their perceived victimhood.
Respect,
where does this go?
Dignity, laws, basic human protections. Like,
and
fucking.
Notice how in the beginning he was fumbling, but then he found his white man. And let's peep that wording again. Very perceived victimhood.
Victimhood, and in the victimhood, a sense of some kind of entitlement. But I don't even know what these folks think they're entitled to in virtue of their perceived victimhood.
Which is also very disingenuous, because he fully understands what people feel entitled to, because you know the fucking definition of intersectionality, because you laid it out really well at the beginning of the clip.
Yeah.
Right? Facing multiple intersections, so, you know, being gay plus non-white plus the woman, whatever you think, whatever the things are, but you know very clearly what intersectionality is, so you also understand what people feel entitled to.
And that's why he stumbled and bumbled at the beginning, because that definition was too clear and coherent. He was like,
I hurt myself. I was like, what do they think they're entitled to? My life?
Hit me right in the mediocrity. Ouch.
Oh.
Where does this go?
I should point out that when this first came out, and the concept came out in 1989, it came out of Legal Theory, and it kind of had some...
This guy really did his homework.
I'm going to point out, though, that he, like, dead-ass can define intersectionality and knows when it came out, but refuses to give a credit to the black man or the black woman who made it.
Yeah, he just said Legal Theory.
Like... Okay.
And that's part of the intersections, Mr. Sir.
There was some rational basis to it. For example, there was this company that laid off all the black female executives. And the court ruled that they weren't discriminated against because it was black men. So it couldn't be a racism thing. And they had white women, so it couldn't be a gender thing. So they had no basis for claiming discrimination. Uh-huh. And that's where the kind of intersectionality that, because they were black female, they were a different group.
What the fuck did he say?
Let me run it back.
For claiming discrimination. Okay, and that's where the kind of intersectional basis to it. For example, there was a...
...of their perceived victimhood. Where does this go?
I should point out that when this first came out, and the concept came out in 1989, it came out of Legal Theory, and it kind of had some, there was some rational basis to it. For example, there was this company that laid off all the black female executives. And the court ruled that they weren't discriminated against because it was black men, so it couldn't be a racism thing. And they had white women, so it couldn't be a gender thing. So they had no basis for claiming discrimination. Uh-huh. And that's where the kind of intersectionality that, because they were black female, they were a different group than white uh-huh. men, or white women, or black men. So it had some kind of, initially, some kind of...
legitimacy.
So you call it legitimate, you identify it, you bring up an example of why it was needed, and then be like, but I don't know what the fuck these Negro bed wenches think they're entitled to! What the fuck are you doing?!
You think they think they're entitled to justice. They didn't get justice. That's how it was supposed to go. Yes, you said something about it. That's nice. You talk. I talk. Talking is awesome. Okay, now back to the system being the system. Don't try to change it.
Oh, wait. I think somebody might be on the phone. Wait.
Someone's trying to call in on Blog Talk?
Maybe. Let me see.
What in the holy heck darn is going on here?
Somebody on?
916. That should be Rashani with a brief comment. And your microphone is hot.
So I don't understand. Like, is the judge white? Because if the judge was white, then that made more sense about how he couldn't see how that was both sexist and racist. Any other judge would have immediately saw all of the nuance in that situation and been like, okay, I see for the plaintiffs, But a white judge would have saw the same issue that these two white Christian males are seeing, and the problem would have just kept repeating itself, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, maybe they were, the fuck you call it, a constitutional originalist, like, you know, like fucking Gorsuch, who are like, well, there's nothing in the Constitution specifically protecting black women, therefore they're not deserving of protections. But yeah, because I do think that a lot of, I don't even think that had to be a white male judge. I could see a white female judge doing that shit going, well, if you would have been better at your job, you wouldn't have been laid off. They kept black people and they kept women. It must be you. I could see, fuck, I could see a lot of non-black, but non, you know, people of color judges saying the same shit, to be honest.
People of color.
Like, to be honest.
Ah, the POC.
And honestly, Clarence Thomas probably would have supported this shit too. So you know what? Yeah. 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 I fucking hate Clarence Thomas. It's real in the streets, man. It's real in the streets. Oh, shit.
Yeah, indeed. Rashani, I don't know if you're going to stay on the line. I'm going to play some more of, oh, Rashani dropped.
Oh, no.
All right, I'm going to get back to... get back to Kokel
for existing this concept yeah. did, but then when it started breaking down into all these smaller groups, especially when you bring in sexuality and the transgender and LGBT issues into it,
right,
it just becomes a crazy way for one upping each other and separating yourselves from other people. And that's where the real problem comes for Christians, is that it causes more division. It causes division even within churches now, because
yeah.
of people assuming that you have to respect somebody's victimhood. And so if the more victimized they are, the more you have to kowtow to their demands.
Right. So it does create at least a sense of entitlement by the victim, although it's not clear to me what they would be entitled to. And it also treats groups as bona fide victims in virtue of being a member of the group. Such that if you're black, you are a victim in virtue of your skin color. When it's just not clear at all to me that most blacks consider themselves victimized by racism. Many think they're not victimized at all.
I would like to see receipts on black people who say racism doesn't exist.
Alan West.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ben Carson.
Yep.
Don Lemon. Oh, actually, no, I think he recanted when that one dude called him a nigger.
Well,
half-ass recanted. Stacey Dash, maybe.
Yeah. See? Just dropping them. See how many names we dropped so fast? Ew! Ew! White people doing stuff. For the podcast listeners, you're missing on the Facebook Live, because I know I'm playing such shitty audio that folks have to go through watching the Facebook Live. What the fuck is happening?
Oh my God, go back to the cat.
It's YouTube autoplay.
Oh, fuck,
I have
man.
YouTube autoplay on funny animals, and some white dude was like sharing an ice cream cone with two dogs.
Ugh.
And yeah, it started with cats and then it just went to dogs, and I don't know what's going on. Why are they all humping everything? Jesus Christ.
The cats was better, that is all I know.
They're acting like white Christian men.
Ugh.
Hey, here we go.
But it seems to be simply a function of how they define things. It's just like white privilege, which I guess is probably the simplest way that people would understand this notion of intersection.
This notion? Right, I heard the fucking tone.
He's getting pompous in there.
It's kind of like the notion of white privilege, which we heard quite a bit about during the election. White privilege on steroids with all...
People weren't saying white privilege this time. People were straight up saying white supremacy
yeah.
this go-round. Yeah. Like you're a little late, Kokel. You were talking about the 2012 run.
I forgot what the article was. I was reading a news article on NBC News Today, and they straight up said white supremacy in the article. I was like, oh, you know what? It was about the removing the Confederate monuments in New Orleans.
Ah.
They started doing that, and of course the white people freaked out. They were like, you don't take away our Confederate shit because we don't live in the past. And they don't. Slavery was a really long time ago, though. But But yeah, like, the article straight up said it, like, it was a white supremacist monument to the Confederacy. I was like, god damn, I and NBC.
Right, and for the people saying white supremacy and fascist just now, thank you for joining us. You can go look at the Social Dissonance blog. I wrote a piece about fascism some time ago. Trying to tell you, but then it took for Donald Trump to run and to see Richard Spencer and shit talking for motherfuckers to get it. And I've been to, what the fuck is with these dogs?
Kinds of other privileged things mixed in. Does that seem to make sense?
Yeah, the concept of privilege is really deeply rooted into this intersectionality theory. Yeah. Because once you define how you're different from other people, then you can claim that other people have privilege over you. They have, they're oppressing you in some way. And it literally is where, you know, a transgender person is being oppressed by the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Christians or other people.
Well, that's, you know,
so
a strange,
it's a very
one.
Narrowing down.
No, it's not.
Why is that strange?
That's a strange one.
Not really.
You know why? Because he just sees them all in that same group of weirdos.
Yeah, well, probably because he assumes that all trans women are just gay men in drag or something.
Yeah,
probably, like,
trans denial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful in that sense, because if you're, say, a transgender person living in New York, you don't have a lot of interaction with evangelicals. So how do you claim your victimhood? Well, you claim other people are
right.
Just
people who are closer
about
to
a
you.
Dude who stood outside a restaurant and stabbed two trans women in New York.
But he said, "See, and that's why they're trying to. This is the larger framing that Coppola is going for in this. Because I didn't play. I started this podcast about 3 minutes in. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, Coppola was framing this is a new attack on us. He didn't say the word white, but you know he's talking about white evangelical assholes. Mm-hmm. He's saying this is a new attack on us. So he's saying if you're in New York, you're not going to see a bunch of, you know, white evangelicals like us. So who are you being victimized by? You see,
wait,
so...
But then doesn't that look, in an underhanded way, admit that white evangelicals do oppress trans people?
They didn't expect us to be listening to this. To their target audience, no. And that's why they don't like when we bring their shit out of their echo chambers.
Oh, also, Elizabeth in the comment section said, sense of entitlement from victims equals, I feel threatened by being held responsible for being respectful to people who don't have shared experiences with me. Pretty much.
That sentence went by really fast. Wait, blaze me again?
I feel threatened by being held responsible for being respectful to people who don't have shared experiences with me.
Yep.
Basically.
That's where they are. You dadgummit rat.
I don't have to respect
So yeah,
them.
It's really becoming a problem. And it's very ideological based. It's not, you know, that all black people are victims necessarily. It's that if black people who don't agree with our ideology are also part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, again, it goes down the granular that if you don't agree with them, you're no longer a victim, you're part of the problem. You're part of the pressure group.
And you know what
well,
this shows.
And I like how he just says he knows this. Like, how deep in black conversations are you really getting Joe Carter? And again, folks, go on the blog talk and look at the picture I have up of him.
Well, there's some black man who goes to our church. He's very nice.
Yeah, because you guys will fucking kill him if he's not.
I was reading your article, What Christians Should Know About Intersectionality, and I'm talking to Joe Carter here, the editor of the Gospel Coalition, which, by the way, is a fabulous blog. Just fabulous. We read it all the time here at Stand to Reason, and we really like your...
What? It's the Gospel Coalition, and it's fabulous. All right? I know, the word fabulous... fabulous, damn. Can I... I don't talk right. The word... Yeah, the word fabulous still has that. Is a connotation? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just, it seems like it's a, I don't know, a gay word? Is that what we're going with?
Femme, I think. Femme.
Femme? Right? Like femme cis male word, right? Yeah.
Like it's something I would expect Lindsey Graham to say. A lot.
Yeah, I did. Yo, didn't Obama or Biden or one of them? No, it was Mitt Romney that said something like it's a. Fabulous Bill, Miraculous Bill, some shit like that.
Ugh.
All right, here we go.
He was clearly wearing his magic underwear at the time.
your authors and your writers, your contributions, so that's great. But what I was thinking about is, like, for some reason I thought of George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Here we go.
Many people are familiar with
that's
the book.
That's exactly right. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
That's right. That's the line there. And this is actually an allegory of the Russian Revolution, and it's meant to show how those who are victims, in a sense, were now in charge of the farm. The animals are in charge of the farm, and the farmers are gone. The czar's gone, and now the Bolsheviks or whatever are in charge. And what ended up happening is a new hierarchy develops, of course, where the pigs then take over the farm building, and they are in charge of everything, and then all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others, and so you just have the old system repeating itself, and which is the point of Orwell regarding the Russian Revolution and what happened with the development of the Soviet Union after that. But I mention it just because, as you see, this is exactly the kind of thing that happens in movements like intersectionality. There's a complaint over privilege that which privilege produces victims, but then the victims themselves adopt a certain level of privilege and victimized those who had been privileged before. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, and this is what happened.
Yeah, see? That's right.
He left out the part how the pigs became human at the end.
No. Actually, he didn't, because he said that they victimize. Ain't that what humans do? Yes, all humans?
So he's not even mad about the idea of a reverse social hierarchy. He's mad about a reverse social hierarchy because he'll be at the bottom of it. And he's like, how dare you treat me the way I've been treating you filthy peasants for the last 5 centuries.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he broke down that animal form on a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few fiction books I've read.
Oh, yeah. That's a good book.
What happens when you make a cult of, or idol of equality?
Yeah.
We're all equal in human dignity, but we're not all equal in skills or intelligence or a thing. And that's by design.
Why do they always do this? So it's like, not everybody is equal because I can't run a marathon. I can't be in the NBA. What the fuck does you joining the NBA have to do with everybody deserves to live and have access to housing and healthcare? What the fuck does that have to do with your washed up NBA hoop dreams, nigga? What? Well, but I can't, you know, be a musician. I don't give a fuck, nigga. Can you eat?
Well, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Never mind the fact that racist hiring practices exist.
But when you start trying to force people to become equal, they automatically try to find ways that they're different from other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they'll base it on whatever first status. And right now, victimhood is first status, so it's easy to try to claim why you're not equal, or why you're more oppressed or more discriminated against because of your status.
Right.
And so, it's just a never-ending circle because people can't accept the fact that inequality exists by nature.
Right.
That doesn't make us... we should remove whatever oppression or discrimination...
That was fully incoherent. He argued with himself. So that's a good time to pause him and reframe... All right, because we're going in the last 8 minutes of these guys, and then we'll wrap the program. Reframe. Remember, they don't intend, like, I know folks are listening to this, and they're like, wow, fuck these fucking guys. They're full of shit, goddammit. They're wrong. Remember, it's not intended for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is intended for white Christians, and mostly adults will be tuning in, but for them to play it for their teenagers that are going into college and their young college students.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the intended audience is.
And, I mean, bringing it into a practical application, you have to remember we just heard somebody who's very, very well-known and respected in the evangelical community say, we're born an equal, you can never have equality with everyone. Who's going to play this for his kid who's going to go to college and... be a Brock Turner.
Yeah.
Because we can't all be equal anyways. So it's okay if you do that to her because she was less than equal. Who are going to, grow up to be CEOs and bankers who are like, I don't have to give loans to those people because they're not equal.
Yeah.
Who donate to Blue Lives Matter because not everybody's equal and sometimes you just have to shoot someone in the back 27 times while they're running away from you because they're scared.
Yeah, these are the pseudo-intellectual, like, when we said he's getting a little pompous, he actually is pompous. Because these are the kind of Christians that call themselves apologists, that practice apologetics. They consider themselves highly intellectual Christians. And so when they, like, when they want to force this oppression on you and they hear ideas like this, they think that this is very good reasoning. The name of the show is Stand to Reason. Mm-hmm. All right, here we
and
go.
And of course, too, and with the reasoning, that they then try to justify it biblically. And this is where religion can be really abusive, because if you oppose it, you are not just defying their preferred order of things, you're now defying Jesus, which puts you at risk of eternal hellfire.
Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't make us all equal.
He didn't.
They exist, but there's we're never going to have pure equality because nobody wants that.
Well,
everybody wants to be different.
Also, inequalities are not examples of oppression. Look, I...
Inequalities are not examples of oppression.
They're just your cross to bear, and that's what Jesus wants you to do. Suck it up, buttercup.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
My first 5 years, I grew up on a farm in northern Wisconsin. My dad was...
All right. Here we go. You ready? Okay, Greg's gonna tell a story. Man, don't you put your finger on your face like that and purse your lip.
Okay, let's hear your bootstrapping.
Okay, we're gonna run, take it back. All right, I'm even going to turn it up a little bit and tell you what. All right, Coco. Oh, I like how it's hiccuping. It always does that on tiny rewinds.
Not equal. The one you're more oppressed, the more discriminated against because of your status.
Right.
And so, it's just a never-ending circle because people can't accept the fact that inequality exists by nature.
Right.
That doesn't make us... we should remove whatever oppression and discrimination exists, but we're never going to have pure equality because nobody wants that.
Well,
everybody wants to be different.
Also, inequalities are not examples of oppression. Look, my first 5 years, I grew up on a farm in northern Wisconsin. My dad was, he always wanted to be a farmer, but in 1955, on Good Friday, the farm burned down, and that was the end of that dream. We all got out, the four of the kids and my mom and dad, just by the skin of our teeth, so to speak. And so he moved back to Chicago. We lived in a basement, and he built it up from there. So we were poor. But no one would ever think, and we didn't think, that we were somehow victims and we were oppressed because we were poor. We were just poor. The circumstances were such that we didn't have a lot of money, and my dad fought back against the circumstances, not against the system, and pulled us out of it.
Yeah. Not again.
Don't fight the system, kids.
A white man didn't fight back against the white supremacist system.
Also, I would point out, this, he said, what, 1955?
Yeah.
Oh, so they just got to move anywhere the fuck they wanted in the city of Chicago, did they?
Huh.
Huh.
Weird.
Weird. It's almost like... what's that word? What's that word?
Priebus.
Priebus.
Rhymes Priebus.
Rhymes Priebus. You had a dose of Priebus in your life.
Great,
yes.
Great lesson for us to learn. But it seems to me nowadays people want to look at every bad thing that happens to them and point the finger at somebody else. Somebody else is responsible and they...
Well, what if an arson burned down the barn or whatever the fuck it was that he claims existed?
His dad probably fucking burned it down his damn self and get insurance money. Fuck out of here.
Damn, huh? Wait, how far away... can you look up what year the Homestead Act was? Yeah.
Need to get payback for it. The government or a lawsuit or whatever. Somebody's got to make the world right for them instead of
Wait,
having
did
an act...
make the world white or make the world bright? Or
right,
just,
make the world right
like,
for
am
them.
Am I hearing things?
Which, and look at what he's seeing as bad. People wanting to make the world right is bad.
Well, don't fight the system.
That's how these fuckers think.
Good picture of the way the world really is. And I can see how this, and maybe you want to say something about this for Christians, I can see how this can affect Christians' position in the marketplace of ideas, Joe, because, it strikes me that of all groups of people, Christians would be considered by those standards as the most oppressive.
Huh?
The last Homestead Type Act was 1916.
Mm. So 1916 to 1955 is, you know, 39 years. Am I hanging in there? Mm-hmm. Yep, 39. So that's probably about how old his father was. So his father was born around a Homestead Act time and probably wanted to get in on that.
Oh,
failed.
Which I just want to point out, too, for people like, but the Homestead Act was so long. They had multiple things that were Homestead Acts. Not just the Abraham Lincoln one. Like, that was like a recurring thing.
The Homestead Act was so long ago, so it doesn't matter, right? Okay, well, the Constitution was a long time ago. Throw that fucker out.
How dare! But it's our thing!
So?
Slavery was a long time ago. However, the Confederate flag needs to exist.
Hey, niggas still got slaves anyway, motherfucker.
Especially because gender sexual issues have taken such a position of prominence in the public discourse now.
Yeah, well, again, it goes back to the, you're only a victim if you're on the left. The minute you kind of cross over into the an Orthodox Christian view or some kind of conservative view, you're automatically part of the victimizer status, right? Because you're
like, they'd be like, oh, we can't be victimizers just because we're Christians or evangelicals or Orthodox. But part of your belief system means, according to you, that you should be able to deny any woman or person from accessing an abortion. You should be able to deny people from accessing birth control. You should be able to not have to hire people because you don't like them. You should not have to be able to hire single moms or divorced people or people who are not hetero, people who have disabilities, because that is wrapped up into your faith. That is your particular interpretation of your holy book. So yeah, it's, you can't get mad at, like, they say we're oppressors. Also, we think it's fair to make laws that deny access to birth control, housing, food, and medical care. Pick a struggle.
It's a group.
Yeah.
And this is, these ideas have been around almost 40 years now.
Right.
So they're really kind of developed. They're sophisticated now, and they're really going to be hard to fight against.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, too many Christians kind of buying into them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I was born in 1950, so I was a teenager, a young adult during the 60s, the Civil Rights Movement. And the big word back then was prejudice. You know, if you are prejudiced. Now, prejudice means, it wasn't racism, it was prejudice. That means you are prejudging a person according to his skin color. You are drawing conclusions about an individual based on something that's inconsequential, his skin color. And so this word made it into the script of movies and everything, because it was the kind of the it was one of those buzzwords of the era of the 60s. But now it's interesting how it's all turned on its ear, because now people are judged almost completely and totally by the group they belong in, whether it's white, whether it's straight, whether it's conservative or Christian or however. And in some cases, these are inconsequential to the broader issue. Christianity, of course, is a worldview, and so this does imply certain things about what Christians believe and what they value. But skin color?
It doesn't imply. That's what you say out loud and do on purpose. It's who you vote for and why you vote for them.
Blue Lives Matter.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'd like to just go through groups of evangelical folks and be like, damn, you know what? I'd rather just fucking sell them Blue Lives Matter flags. Fuck it.
Yeah,
get their money.
Well, I mean, and plus then, too, they'll have a flag, so, like, be a little bit more open about their racism, you know what I mean? So you can, like, see them coming, right?
You could,
like,
sell them their snitching on themselves.
Basically, like, selling those fucking shirts and hats and shit. And, like, yeah, wear it proudly everywhere you go.
Yeah, we need to do that.
You know, and all, gender, all of these things become ultimate distinctions, and so it's almost like the whole thing has gone topsy-turvy in the last 50 years,
okay,
where the lip...
Gender becomes one of those ultimate distinctions. Are these or are these not the same people who have a rule that women are supposed to stay home and be housewives, men need to go out and be breadwinners, and oftentimes women are not allowed to preach? That is y'all, right?
Yeah, but... You guys are gay.
But you're gay. I know. Well, that changes everything.
Rules.
Gender roles are wrong. No, gender roles are right, unless they're being performed by gay people.
Yep. Then it ain't right.
It falls apart. Falls apart.
A masculine gay man going out and earning money for his little femme husband, that ain't right.
It ain't right.
It wrong.
in the 60s were concerned about and rightly so concerned about discrimination and wanted to see that changed because of an appropriate liberal ideology. Now liberalism has become leftism, and everything is discrimination.
And that shows you, again, they're in their echo chambers because they have no idea that liberals and the left have split in the past 2 years.
Yeah, they don't know.
We have split. We are not the same folks anymore.
Which is hilarious to me, too. Like, I see that a lot on Twitter where people are like, oh, you know, liberalism is a mental disease. Like, oh, you must be a libtard. And I'm like, I'm not sure why you think liberals would be friends with me, but okay, that's interesting. Which is hilarious to me. Like, we hate liberals so much. And it's like, but clearly you don't know who is involved or what is involved with liberal ideology.
Yeah.
Versus leftist ideology. But, I mean, I guess keep up with those opinions, man.
Yeah, like, they've talked to each other in such a circle, they have no idea what's going on outside of it.
For fuck's sake, these are the same people who are like, I don't want Obamacare, I have the ACA.
I have the Kentucky Exchange. No shit.
I'm sorry, not discrimination, but what's the word I use? Prejudice. And they glory in it. They glory in the prejudice rather than pushing against it. It has just gone upside down in the last 50 years, in my opinion, at least. So
yeah, I think that's exactly right. Now you're punished if you're not prejudiced.
Yeah.
If you don't judge a person because they're in a certain group, you don't make certain assumptions.
What? You're punished if you're not racist?
Is a prejudice, and they glory in it. They glory in the prejudice rather.
I was like, when I remember just reframing again in the last 3 minutes of it, that they're talking to their target audience, not to us. We're not the intended audience. And he's saying they glory in it, telling this religious audience that this intersectionality thing is a religion, mm-hmm. and because it's a religion that's not ours, it's a rival enemy religion. Be mm-hmm. against it. Like, well, watch what they're saying to their intended audience.
And also try to convert them with our talking points.
Yeah.
Rather than pushing against it. It has just gone upside down in the last 50 years, in my opinion, at least. So
yeah, I think that's exactly right. Now you're punished if you're not prejudiced.
Yeah.
If you don't judge a person because they're in a certain group, you don't make certain assumptions that they're...
Yeah, basically they're saying we're not racist and we're being punished for being not racist. When they are. And they're not being punished.
I see. So we're not racist, but we just think not everybody is created equally because that's how God intended it, and that's not racist. It's just a fluke that certain groups keep ending up on the bottom of the shit pile all the time.
Yeah, and something else they were saying in there some minutes ago was that people just don't want equality, so stop fighting for it.
Yeah, stop fighting for it. They don't want it.
Victimized. Because they're part of this group. You're considered part of the you're part of the oppression.
Yeah,
you're part of the problem because you don't prejudge them and have this prejudiced view automatically.
Mm-hmm. So, Joe, what would be your RX here? What's the takeaway for followers of Christ facing our culture? How do we manage in this?
I think we need to be aware that there are still systems of oppression, systematic sin in the world, racism, sexism, things like that. But as Christians, we should identify with Christ first. Our identity mm-hmm. is found in Christ before race, before gender, before these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to make sure we remember that we have a connection with each other, with other Christians, mm-hmm. that is stronger and clearer and will last forever in ways that these other things won't matter.
Yeah.
So we should be pushing against the idea that we're victims and find ways to kind of help people mm-hmm. Out of these into the identity of Christ. Mm-hmm.
So the last...
Yeah.
If our identity is in Christ, where does that leave anybody who's not a white man, since Jesus was a white man too?
Yeah. You know what? They don't care.
they don't care
as long as they get to run shit and
like,
fucking.
But, you know, shut up and accept your inequality because that's what God intended and people don't want equality anyways. Said white Republican Jesus.
People
woman.
That should be falling for this are followers of Christ, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Because we have a totally different foundation for our identity. But now that we're followers of Christ in a culture where now this is at least for the moment, somewhat popular, and in the university, it's huge. these patterns, even if intersectionality is not, well, let me back up. Whether it's formally stated or not, these patterns are really active in the university, this whole idea of privilege of different sorts, and everybody's a victim and everybody's oppressed, at least people of color and sexual variety and all of that. So, I'll tell you what, my...
He wanted to say deviance so bad.
I'm a member of the Sexual Variety Club. How about you?
That sounds fucking fantastic. The Sexual Variety Club.
Aw, yeah.
Yo, SVC, let's kick it. Oh, man, the Sexual Variety.
The university, this whole idea of privilege of different sorts, and everybody's a victim and everybody's oppressed, at least people of color and sexual variety and all of that. So I'll tell you what, I'm curious just for your response here. As a follower of Christ, here I there's two takeaways for me. Here's the first one. I'm not going to be browbeaten. I'm not going to allow myself mentally to be browbeaten into thinking I'm an oppressor when none of that stuff applies to me personally, or virtually none of that stuff. I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. But I have a feeling that a lot of Christians...
Both?
Yeah.
Are going to start thinking, oh, maybe I am this awful, bad, oppressive person. Maybe I have white privilege, and I have straight privilege, and I have male privilege, and I have all these... So I must be part of the oppressed group. And I'm just not going to buy that coming from them. That's my first response. And my second response is, this too shall pass.
Yeah, I must be part of the oppressed group. Oh, you meant oppressor group, but all right, I will take your Freudian slip, sir.
No, and you almost hinted at that a moment ago. What do you think of those two reactions?
I think you're completely right, and I think we need to offer an alternative to the status of victimhood. That's the status of servant. That when people seeing us serving others without looking to ourselves as victimized or oppressed, even when we are, we can show that there's a better way.
Not looking to ourselves as victimized or oppressed, even when we are.
Humility before the Lord.
Repress, which is a word I commonly use.
A way to live and a better way to be around people and serve people. I think that we won't. Maybe not convince everyone, but I think it'll be more attractive in the long run than intersectionality.
You know, I think that we could also point to the one who was the most despised and oppressed and the one who was the supreme victim, though didn't play the victim card. That was Jesus of Nazareth.
Right?
He was despised and was...
greatness and glory in your suffering. Accept your suffering from the Lord, you fucking peasant. You know, if it was 1816, these niggas would be having a fucking... they'd have a dead-ass entire conversation about why runaway slaves are confused and drapedomania is a real fucking psychiatric disorder.
To say it in a... does he use the word oppressed of men? I'm not sure, but certainly his life was characterized by that. Yet he reached out as the servant that you described and as a model for us. So... no, it's here. We're facing one of those crazy things again, but we'll get through it. And thank you so much, Joe, for spending some time with us.
All right. You enjoyed it.
I did not enjoy it. It was actually quite painful for me. However, there is a level of value to knowing what the enemy is saying, right? So then you know what arguments are coming, you know how to handle it, you're ready for it, you're prepared. Like, preparation is key. You can't just...
They're
fucking stupid. I'm not talking to them. Well... they make the laws, so you should probably learn what they say to prepare yourself.
And they have guns and shit.
And they have guns and the police work for them and they own most of the land and most of the corporations and yeah.
And also, and remember, again, their target audience, they want teenagers listening to this shit. So this shit, these ideas, these are the ideas of the future. Alright, so your kid that you're raising leftist... if you're listening to this program, you gotta be a lefty motherfucker.
Yeah.
And if you're raising offspring, when you send them off out in the world, they're going out in the world to share it with the kids and people that fucking listen to this shit.
Exactly. So start prepping your kids now, because when your kids go to college, they're gonna run into those kids, and this is gonna be the fucking attempt to evangelize your children to learn to embrace their suffering for the glory of God.
It's Moral Monday. And you're in the wine cellar.
And, fucking, Yeah, we should do this again now because they actually, a recent episode is one where they're talking about, a guy is talking about how he, like, deliberately confuses people about abortion on college campuses. And so we should play that and show how they're doing that propaganda. And they have one where they talk about racism again. They even bring on their token nigger boy, and he buck dances hard for him. It's great. And it's for three white women hosts. So he caught all the fever. It was fantastic stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to write a piece about Tony Lauren, of all things.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
Well, you go ahead and you crack that.
Yeah, Sean Hannity was accused of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity has always treated me with nothing but respect and professionalism. These accusations read like bullshit. Well, if you say so, Tomi. If you say so.
Hey, she's not going to be a victim. She listens to Greg Kokel. GoFundMe.com/PhoenixAndWilliam. Shit, this was only an hour and 20 minutes. We did well.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to fucking bang into 2 hours on this motherfucker.
I tried to restrain myself.
Well, fuck you. You didn't try. You did. You won. You won. You're black. All right. There you go, Facebook Live. There's something wrong with this banana. Said George Bush holding up a stalk of corn. It's one of my favorite memes.
Oh, Lord.
It's live. And podcast audio.
GoFundMe.com/PhoenixAndWilliam. Get our tax return.